WMCHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with channeler David Watson. Tracy McBurney's incredible energy consciousness. Mikhail Mir's financial consciousness. And nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with quantum physics and consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Hey, good afternoon. It's Intuitive Soul and Friends. And we're happy to, or we wish our guest a very happy birthday because he's decided to join us on his birthday.
Oh.
So we welcome David Watson, who is a deep trance channeler for his soul group called The Willows. So his website is askthewillows.com. And we're going to talk about discovering our inner wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. So welcome again, David.
Well, thank you.
Happy birthday.
Well, thank you. And happy unbirthday to everybody else out there.
Actually, I know somebody else whose birthday's today.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Mm. She's also Welsh. Yep, she does channel too.
Well, there you go.
Huh.
I do channel three, but you know, so.
Yes. Well, yes.
So our topic is what? I'm sorry.
Discovering our inner wisdom.
That's right. It is. And I think part of discovering our inner wisdom is discovering our inner humor as well.
There you go.
Our inner laughter.
Inner humor is pretty, well, I think we need to be able to laugh at ourselves as well as the world and everything else that seems to happen.
Yeah. I think so. I also think that, for me, discovering my inner wisdom has kind of like been a lifetime progress, a process for me, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out who, what, when, where, how, and why of my existence. Might sound a bit narcissistic, but in truth, it's not. I think it's one of the reasons each one of us is here is to, you know, to put foot into those new trails of conscious awareness.
Right. Well, you know, I think it's, you know, we're always in such a hurry, for one, and we seem to be in a hurry thinking that we're going to get somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think part of this whole journey is, you know, one, enjoying the journey, but, you know, the journey doesn't end. The journey continues in infinity.
My favorite movie, The Never Ending Story.
There you go.
But then they had part two and three. I don't get that.
Well, because it was never ending.
Well, I don't know. It was like when I was in high school and they started talking about infinities and geometry and trig and that sort of thing. And they're going, well, here we have infinity one and infinity two. And I'm going, oh, just a second here. What's, what do you mean infinity one and infinity two? There's only one infinity, isn't there? You know, but yeah. My math teacher didn't really appreciate my philosophical approach to life.
No. Well, that's okay. I didn't ever really appreciate my math teacher's own. Math and me just didn't quite see eye to eye.
Didn't quite add up.
No. Basics I'm good with.
Yeah. So back to wisdom.
Right. Wisdom.
Things I should have known but never did, but took me a lifetime to figure out. I think, you know, when we start defining wisdom, a lot of us have a variety of different ways of looking at it. But to me, wisdom is accumulated experience that's applied benevolently. You know, that's my definition. I think, however, it has to do with perspective and the way that we see things. That's why some people appear to be wise at a much younger age, and in fact are, because they can give themselves a little bit of perspective, a little bit of distance around the things around them, and they can begin to see life more as a grand experiment rather than, you know, some kind of a rat race,
right.
You know. And I think once we begin to separate ourselves from those thinking, or thinking in that way, then we can really begin to, tap into that inner wisdom that we come from. Because most of us think that wisdom somehow comes from outside of us, out there.
Right.
If I learn this and I know that and I listen to this person and I, you know, well, that's all good. But real wisdom is application. It's not just listening. It's application and putting things together in our own specific way, you know.
Yeah. You can't really know wisdom I always can't really figure out a good way of saying that. You can't really know wisdom until it's happened, until the future.
Mm-hmm. And to
see whether it's the best choice that you could make or whether it was the wisest choice. I mean, you know.
Well, I don't think wisdom is something you become. I think wisdom is something that becomes, you know, an ongoing process. Mm. As you were saying, it goes into infinity. It doesn't just doesn't stop in one place. So, you know, because I mean, how else could we have the audacity to sit here and talk about wisdom, you know? Because possibly at some point in our lives, we've achieved certain amounts of, you know, experience that give us an opportunity to share our ideas and our philosophies with other people. And then it's up to other people to choose to apply or not apply or learn from it or see it in a different way or adopt, adapt, and improve the information one way or another, you know.
Right.
So I think that's where the real, you know, passing of the torch comes from as far as wisdom is concerned, is to put the information out there for people to hear, and then it's up to each of us to pick up the information and determine what we want to do with it.
Right.
Because life is all about making decisions.
Right. And whether we're ready or whether, you know, I mean, it's, mm-hmm. you can say the same thing 10 times and it doesn't really matter unless the person's ready. It's whether it's wise or not, you know, unless you're ready to hear.
Well, that's been my case.
Yeah.
It's been my personal experience. Yeah. I mean, somebody can tell you something 10 different ways on a Sunday, but, you know, unless you have that experience, then you're not going to have the understanding. And I think that's the real point, which I get back to, because I was talking about the application of that experience benevolently. You know, we have to, first of all, have the experience. Many of us can spend a lifetime studying this and studying that and trying to, you know, figure out the wisdom of the ages. Oh, Aristotle and, you know, Confucius and, you know, Shakespeare and just about anybody that we can get hold of who had a good thought in mind. But, you know, do we learn from them or do we look at them and say, this is part of the accumulated knowledge that we have? So it's called collective wisdom or, you know, history or historical wisdom. So it's up to us to have that as a base. So we don't have to go back there to assume those things if we accept some of the wisdom that's being given to us and some of the insights about life, so we can build our own perspective on life on top of that. So, you know, if we begin to understand that as part of our wisdom process, it enables us to, you know, study classic thinking perhaps in a philosophical manner, but more to the point, understand what's happening in our day-to-day life, which is more practical to the point. You know, and I think that wisdom comes from being confident within ourselves as to who we are and the type of decisions that we're capable of making. You know, I think that's that kind of wisdom that comes out of life experience. Now, for everybody out there listening to this, you know, you might look into your own self and say, well, you know, am I wise? Do I? You know, or am I just a wise guy? I ask myself that all the time. But, you know, that wisdom that comes into our lives actually comes from within our own sources. And I imagine that if we're really honest with ourselves, we'll see that most of the good decisions we've made in our lives come from that kind of a practical understanding of who we are and that inner wisdom. The other decisions that weren't so great usually come from doubting it.
Or from somebody else and thinking that they have more wisdom than you do.
Well, that's where it boils down to, you know, power, mm-hmm. you know, and our beliefs about power over and power around mm-hmm. what others can do with us. And part of my wisdom in life has enabled me to believe that nobody has power over me, whether it's, you know, especially spiritual power or energetic power. Somebody may have financial power over me. They may have other powers over me. But in actual fact, in the big picture, that's not that important to me. You know, what's important is that we're all equal on an energetic and spiritual base, and that we don't have power over each other. We have, you know, a collective understanding of what that power is so that we can hopefully grow in that part of our lives as well.
Right.
You know. Well, this is my 64th birthday today, so I'm allowed to be philosophical. You know? I thought they'd have the Beatles playing for me today or something like that, you know. But, you know, I think it's a certain time in our lives, and we do have to take a step back and look back, you know, over our lives and determine, you know, what have we, you know, learn from that life experience, you know, mm-hmm. other than the fact that, you know, life can be a real SOB, you know, but at the same time, that's our perception.
Right. That's and my, the story we create around
Well, exactly. That. So to me, real understanding and real wisdom comes from a matter of perspective of how we understand the world around us, and we learn that through our own experience. So just getting back to that understanding about personal experience, subjective experience, is really where wisdom grows from. You know, objective or learned experience is only just theory. It's not real. It's not true for us.
Right.
You know, but when we start dealing with our own inner truths, the things that really, you know, resonate with within ourselves and our understanding of the world around us, that to me is the base of wisdom. And I think we all have equal rights to that wisdom to discover mm-hmm. within ourselves. You know, so it's a matter of taking the bull by the horns and saying, you know what, I'm going to work on, you know, learning about my inner wisdom a little bit, learning about who I am, where I'm going, what's important to me. So many of us go through a lifetime of experience in which we're accumulating things, become completely engaged with our social order and the culture we live within, and don't give ourselves much time to determine really who we are within our own consciousness. And, of course, those are the people who usually wind up coming to talk to you or me
right.
for some grounding around that. You know, so I guess today I think I'm trying to get across the idea that inner wisdom is available. And when the more we reach inside for it, the more grounded we're going to become and the more balanced we're going to feel as conscious, sentient, loving human beings. So I like to think.
I think the other piece that you'd mentioned, you know, about experience, sometimes our experience isn't who we are. Sometimes our experience is part of the stories that we create.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't kind of help us with the wisdom aspect. But, you know, the whole inner part, I think that piece is the important part, because it's learning how to bring in our own abilities versus, you know, listening to other people and
yeah.
looking at, you know, what happens
yeah.
and not getting caught up in that. But
exactly. And it is that learning that's key
mm-hmm.
to growth
mm-hmm.
because, you know, it's all about looking at things. And if we can ask ourselves that very simple question, when something happens to us, no matter how negative it may be, instead of looking at it like we're living in the middle of hell and look, it's happened to us again, we can look at it with a different eye, perhaps take an experimental perspective of it and look at it and say, well, what's the benefit of this? What's the learning out of this for me? You know, aside from the fact that I'm angry or upset or completely devastated or distraught or whatever the case may be, what's the learning out of this that, you know, I may be able to look back on in time and say, look, you know what? Experiences are just experiences, and this one here really got to me. And maybe the learning from this is how to shift my consciousness and my emotional body to cope with this kind of distress in my life, you know, and to grow from that experience. So I'm no longer affected by this kind of thing, and I can possibly be able to share that with other people mm-hmm. in a kind and generous way.
Yeah, look at our fears, look at our beliefs.
Yeah, which is what it's about to me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's getting in inner wisdom. Absolutely. We will take callers later on. So if you have any questions for David, especially since it's on his birthday, I'm sure this is an auspicious time to call
Oh, boy.
You can give us a call, 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You want to take a break now?
Well, we can take a break now, sure.
All right. So why don't we go to break now and... You are listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have David Watson. If you want more information about David, go to his website, askthewillows.com. So askthewillows.com. And we are on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
Change from this burnout scene. Another time, another town, another everything. But it's always back to you. Stumble out in the night under pouring rain. Made the blocks, sad thought to there's more I need. It's always back to you. But I'm good without you. Yeah, I'm good without you.
The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And good afternoon. Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have David Watson with us today. David's actually gone into trance, and so we have the Willows with us right now. David is a deep trance channeler for the Willows, which is part of a soul group. You can find out more about David if you go to his website, askthewillows.com. I guess you can find out more about the Willows as well. Well, welcome.
Indeed, yes. And we welcome you here today, yes.
On David's birthday.
Indeed, yes. Another great opportunity to, shall we say, celebrate life.
That's
yes?
It. Yes. So we were talking about inner wisdom, and David thought maybe that you would like to add to that conversation about, you know, the importance of discovering our own inner wisdom.
Well, everybody knows the importance of discovering it. It's the technique of getting there that is the question. And there are many, many different techniques that people use to collect this, including that of meditation, that of the movement of qi in different forms of martial arts and qigong, dai qi as well. There be of many forms that come from all around the world that encourage the centering of the individual to their collective conscious center, which is the base of wisdom, as one would put it. Often you would find that people speak about it in other ways, such as those of these Hindu beliefs who speak of that of the Ayurvedic and Akashic records, you see, which are actually the collective consciousness of all thought and lives of all who have existed upon the planet in this way, you see. But is this a collective wisdom, or is this an understanding that each of you, as you enter onto the physical plane, have this wisdom inherent within you? It is inherent within each of you to be, shall we say, utilized in whatever way is appropriate. It is shaped by the life that you live, by the family that you live within. It is shaped by your reaction to the things that do happen around you. All of these are important aspects in creating a sense of inner wisdom. But truly, is there one type of wisdom that is better than another? Of course not. Because each individual, as they see it, is able to tap into the same source of wisdom, but receives different information because of the life that they have experienced from on the conscious level, you see? Mm-hmm. So from this perspective, it puts one into a point of saying, my inner wisdom is, in fact, my inner self. We know the entity David be speaking about the importance of looking within, and that is the only place that one can look truly for the very base of wisdom. Wisdom is not the same as knowledge. Knowledge comes from the accumulation of information about oneself, so that one has a working interaction with the world about oneself, whether it be through the technology or through the social graces. However, when it comes down to the base here of wisdom, wisdom is a matter of experience. It is a matter of shift and change, and it is always comes through the individual's inner search for truth. And it is not just the truth of life, not just the truth of being, but the truth of that which is. In other words, the one of consciousness. One does not begin life thinking about these things, as you would understand, but those who begin to enter into this thinking process are drawn towards it like a moth to the flame, you see? Mm. So this wisdom, as one would be searching for it, comes from a matter of reflection, through contemplation, through introspection, yes? And also through that which follows personal interaction with the world around oneself. Great wisdom does not just come from positive experiences one has had. Great wisdom comes from reflecting upon negative experiences, sometimes negative experiences that one consciously precipitated and created a new vision of the life for themselves through that experience. But at the end of the day, it is coming to a point where an individual can show the aspect of true wisdom, which is the growth of a mind into a state of maturity, a maturity not meaning that it is old and wrinkled, but rather maturity in that it is fine and vibrant, that it is based upon forgiveness and understanding. For all true wisdom emanates from this very core, giving the opportunity for all to develop around itself in its own way, in a positive and free manner. Meaning, of course, not that one should not have rules and regulations to live one's life by, for these are important aspects of it, but that is more of a practical application. The wisdom that underlies this kind of organization is critical to the kind of growth that the individual can have within society, and ultimately the kind of growth that society can have itself, as you would see. And, of course, coming from different social orders, different consciousness and understandings of what life is and is not about, there is an opportunity for the continuous growth of wisdom through a continuing life experience, interacting with other cultures and other models of wisdom. You see?
Mm-hmm. I guess we become connected to those philosophies or wisdom, ancient wisdom techniques or ancient wisdom teachings through our own, not only this life experience, but our past life experiences as well.
Well, indeed, this is the case. If one thinks that you can get it all together in one lifetime, then one is missing the boat of the understanding of the eternal mind and understanding the growth of the soul along its path of least resistance, which appears at times to be most resistance. You see? But one always tries to follow the easiest way, which, of course, creates the largest amount of shall we say, resistance, thereby causing the learning curve to become extraordinary in this way, you see?
Right. Okay. So I guess when it comes to uncovering our own inner wisdom, I get the bit about experience, although sometimes our experience is based, well, the inner wisdom that we learn, if we're open and conscious, would be, you know, what the beliefs and the fears are that we have that are holding us in a certain pattern.
Well, the important aspect, we would say, of wisdom, the very core of it, is learning not to hold on to things. That's the first step. You see, one comes onto this plane to have two experiences. One is to have a choice, and the other one is to have an emotional experience, yes? And the first thing one chooses is how one is going to feel. Everything else grows and builds from this as an understanding, you see? And this is our basic concept of the world of duality and how it comes into existence. But to understand the nature of that, to go to the next level is to understand, to have the emotional experience is one thing, but have an experience does not mean trying to hold on to it. For example, if one has a joyful experience in life, does one try to repeat it all the time? Well, the only people that you really would think about that with would be people who are addicted to certain drugs.
Right.
But they can also be addicted to foods. They can also be addicted to gambling. They can be addicted to a variety of different aspects of consciousness.
Right.
And in this way here, it is important to note that the total aspect of growth itself is unimportant long and comprehensive way of seeing things, you see?
Mm-hmm. You might want to help David with... Okay, it stopped.
Indeed. This be of a birthday greeting.
Of course. Okay. So, all right. So I think maybe looking at what is the best way, or I guess there's lots of best ways, but to, you know, really connecting in with our own inner wisdom, our own inner guidance?
Well, the best way to do it is to begin to review things in your life that you have just done, that you would like to think about. Perhaps you said something to somebody that you wished you'd said a different way, or that you had given yourself an opportunity perhaps to complete a project in a different way, or you should have done something earlier that you did not do, etc. So what happens when you have these experiences is you often spend a lot of time in self-criticism, yes? Oh, shoulda, woulda, coulda, and then you beat yourself silly, you see? But in truth, at the end of your understanding of this, by letting go of this inner critic, you see, by saying, what is there I'm learning from this experience? What choice did I make that I could make different the next time? What way can I begin to learn from this? And the true beginning of understanding the nature of this is to begin to take the vision of life as a grand experiment. And to understand that, you would begin to have a different eye to life. Saying that the different things that you've done, whether it's a career choice, whether it's relationships, whether it's your choice of beliefs about what is and is not true in your life, when you begin to look at these, you have an opportunity to begin to, shall we say, let go of the need to hold on to these beliefs and begin to look at them as what are the benefits. In this way, you begin to take more of a scientific or experimental view to the things that are occurring in your life. At which point, if you attempt to do something, for example, you can look on life as a grand experiment. The things that you do try and do either work or do not work, or they do not quite work the way you would like them to do. If you look upon a scientist such as Edison, who said if he hadn't had the 999 failures around the electric light, it would never have existed. Because they were not failures, they were experiments to attempt to achieve a certain outcome. So this gives one the idea that if one takes an experimental view in life, one has an outcome that one would like to have, and if one attempts to approach life in different ways to try and achieve that outcome, one will indeed have finding ways that are most superior to other ways of doing the same, more beneficial and less damaging. So this is where the learning curve comes from this. This is where true wisdom comes from, and not just from one's successes, how you got there, but also one's, shall we say, failures, one's losing in certain instances to determine how to do something better. However, some people give up at that point and say, well, I guess I'm just going to give up. Well, if that was the case, humanity would still be living in caves. You understand? So we simply say to those who give up, stop giving up. Be human. Take an experimental view to life. Stop taking yourself so seriously, for as we always say, life is far too serious a matter to take too seriously. and begin to look at life in a manner that is less threatening. Because quite frankly, no matter what happens around you, most of what is happening to you is happening through your perception of it. And since the only moment that you can think in and be in is the now, the very instant that you are listening to the sound of my voice, you see, in this instant here, this is the now. Everything else is just thought forms that you are creating around that instant of a focus. So your past memories, memories of what was just said, for example, your projection about what may be said in the next few minutes, or your thinking about that, is all in your head. So you must understand it is not 90% of everything in your life that is in your head. It is 99%. The 1% is that moment that you live and exist within. When you understand this, when one takes this as a truth in life, it is impossible to feel that you are not in charge of your life. Because every thought that you have, every decision you make is based upon what you're going to do next. Mostly, however, people have this expectation that what is going to happen next is what just happened the moment before. And as a result, they're not disappointed. You see?
So can we hold that thought? We need to go to break. Is that okay? Yes. All right. Perfect.
Good moment for this.
Good. If you have any questions for David or the Willows, you could give us a call now, 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You are listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with David Watson and the Willows. You can find out more about them on their website, askthewillows.com. We are on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Have you ever doubted your direction in life? Do you sometimes wonder if you are on the right path? Visit john-wayne.us, the website of the John Wayne Psychic Show. Are there questions in your mind that you simply cannot answer? Is your sleep troubled by thoughts of what might happen tomorrow? Visit john-wayne.us, the website of the John Wayne Psychic Show. Are you losing your ability to visualize the success you deserve? Does the road always seem to be one constant uphill climb? Visit john-wayne.us, the website of the John Wayne Psychic Show. Did you know that John and Wayne are two of Britain's top psychic mediums? Did you know that you can speak directly to either John or Wayne? Visit john-wayne.us, the website of the John Wayne Psychic Show. And be sure to tune in each Wednesday at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time for the John Wayne Psychic Show on New Sky Radio.
I'm not afraid to die.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have David Watson and the Willows with us today. We are talking about inner wisdom. If anybody has any questions, this would be a great time to give us a call. 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. Do you remember where we left off?
Well, be speaking here, yes, regarding the aspect of how one may accomplish this balance, yes?
Yes. You know, one of the big things that I like what you said is, you know, that we're here for two things, just make choices and to have an emotional experience. And I think we also need to understand that we have a choice on our emotional experience. Maybe not the initial blast, because that may have something to do with a belief or something that we're holding on to, a fear. But we do have choices on the type of and how we experience our emotions.
Well, indeed. You see here, there are certain physiological aspects of the body that are designed very specifically to protect one's physical being. And do not forget that the physical is an invisible combination between that of spirit and that of a physical bodily in this way. The bodily has its own very specific operating system. So emotions are contained. They come from the body. That's why a spirit comes into the body, you understand, to become human in this way. Will come into any body. All mammals have emotional experiences, you understand, as do many other vertebrates and even invertebrates in one way or another, outside that of love. And this here is important in the human to understand, that this emotions that come through are a result of the physical interaction with the world around oneself. So you have something that frightens you, you will have a reaction in the body. You will have an adrenal reaction, yes? You'll have a shock in the body, and you will either have a fight or flight behavior pattern. This has nothing to do with choice. This has to do with interaction, you see? However, when one has got the initial, as you called it, wave over, one can immediately take charge of the situation and decide what one is going to do with that energy.
Right.
And that's where the taking charge comes into place. It's not that you, and you must have this reactive state within the body. That's one of the aspects of creation in this way. Even those Zen masters and those masters of the East have been known to have tempers, because certain things annoyed them in the moment, at which point they immediately balanced themselves through and stepped into a higher learning through it. So it is the same with all humans. When you have an experience, it is not wrong to have the experience. What is important is the reflection after the experience to use as a growth-based situation, you see?
Mm-hmm.
That's where the learning comes from. That's where the growth comes from. Then you can begin to see the true benefit of being alive, which is growing and learning not only to interact with the world and interact with those around you, but importantly, learn to come to grips with your own physical existence and your mortality and your eternal spirituality and all of that which is in between. A very, very big job, and one that most people do not spend any time at all upon, except offering it lift service from time to time, or reading an inspirational book, or trying to join a religion that will give it to them without really having the feeling they must participate so completely. Others want to become completely enmeshed in a particular system that is exclusive of other systems. So as a result of this, one would not be able to have a full sense of that connectiveness, because there is differentiation. When one lives on the world here of two dimensions, three dimensions, it is the world of duality. Yes, no, up, down, positive, negative, male, female, etc. Your world is consisting of opposites. So as a result, all choices are made as to yes or no, good or bad, you see? But in truth here, that's only on the physical plane. On a higher level, there is no good or bad or positive or negative. There only is. Now, not wishing to sound too high and flighty here, it is important to note this is the canvas upon which life is painted. this canvas of neutrality that you humans would put value to in your actions and activities. And of course, the ones that seem to be the most positive are the ones that increase and enhance the human condition, and those that are negative are the ones that work against it. It is that simple. So it's a matter of utilizing this as a basic way of discerning things as to what one would want to do in life and what one gains the most amount of enjoyment from, you see? This falls into historical notions in which there has always been the sons of Belial and the sons of the light, or of the white brotherhood, you see? Sons of Belial are the ones who would be following the dark path. The sons of the white brotherhood are the ones that would be feeling the bright path, thereby differentiating the origins of good and evil in your society today. This comes from hundreds of thousands of years before this time in which you exist in this plane, you see? But this belief has come forward because it is a basic understanding of the nature of duality, good versus evil, you see? And it is that which often is used to manipulate people to create certain ideologies and certain national or even international goals for the human race, you see? So it is through this understanding of these basics of the world of duality that one may rise above them and say, these are the things that cause one to become intimately involved with the world without giving great acquiescence to the inner knowledge that one has within oneself to discern one's place in this new world of duality rather than gravitating toward one end or the other. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the difficulty is in most cases surrounding this, that one would want to go in that way. Whereas in truth, there is a fine balance that comes between the two, which is many belief systems hold something that is called the middle path, you see?
Right.
And it is that, you see? It is saying you come to the fork in the road, and one would say, so what are you going to do? You say, I'm going to take the fork.
Right.
And that means the middle path. And that's the truth within oneself. So the middle path is a place in which one is non-judgmental. One holds judgments, yes, but they must be open-ended. In other words, they must be, shall we say, assumptions that are taken at the particular moment that they one encounters something that's unusual or different. One would pass an assumption or an assumptive judgment about it, which is open-ended. If one encounters this again and learns more information, the judgment then begins to shift into what would be known as a belief, because the belief grows from a judgment that is given reinforcement through constant interaction and with similar results, you see?
Mm-hmm.
We
actually have a couple callers. So
indeed, yes.
Okay, so why don't we take one and then we'll go to break. So we don't have a lot of time, so try to... I know it's difficult. Let's take Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Hi. So you're going to ask a question that I asked earlier. She wants to know how to tune into the inner wisdom. I'm going to ask maybe you for you to connect in with her to see how she can connect in with her inner wisdom versus a general.
Well, to tune in with the inner wisdom, one must, first of all, be able to tune in with that which is. Most people believe that there is an inner and outer wisdom, so there is a matter of duality here, you see? And this is where the first difficulty arises from. One says, well, how can I go inside if I'm focused outside? The fact is that when one lives one's life from the inside out, that is the beginning of understanding that nature. So for you to begin to tap the inner wisdom, you must realize you are already the inner wisdom. It is your perception of the world that enables you to see things in the way that you do. It is how you filter those things. In other words, your experiences and the belief that you built up around those experiences to give you a perspective of the world, yes, and an internal experience. That is where your interaction with the world comes from. Wisdom comes from looking at this system and making decisions that are different from the outcomes or the decisions that you've made in the past around similar issues. This is where reflection comes into a place and contemplation truly becomes part of the process. So there are certain meditations that one may do this. If you would like to leave here your email address, not on the air, perhaps with the producer here,
okay.
We would have the entity David be happy to send you a meditation that you may use yourself to help you get into that central place. You see?
Okay, good.
So that would be, otherwise we could do it on air, but unfortunately we do not have 45 minutes, you see. So, but we would not expect this. So that would be the best way. But the most important thing to remember at any time is asking yourself, who is viewing the world? Who is perceiving the world? Who is experiencing the world? That is your core of inner wisdom, the who. Not why, not what, but who. You see?
Okay.
Is this helpful?
Yes, very helpful.
To a degree, we do not want to be too arcane here with you, you see, but hoping that this helps. So do leave your email address, and this will be sent off to you before the end of the day.
That's great. Thank you.
Indeed.
You're welcome. All right, we're going to go to break. You are listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have David Watson and the Willows with us. We already have a caller, so we probably will be finished for the day. But, if you want more information about David and the Willows, go to their website, askthewillows.com. You are on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Seeking guidance in areas of love, career, and family? Kimmy Rose and Friends provides access to gifted psychics and is just a call away at 1-888-626-7386. Visit KimmyRose.com. That's Kimmy with an I-E. And click on the link to Kimmy Rose and Friends under Kimmy's picture on the right. Choose your advisor and click on their link below. If they're not immediately available, schedule an appointment with them. Kimmy Rose and Friends, connecting you with psychic advisors Kimmy Trust.
Let me tell you. I remember in the days of old, doesn't seem that long ago. It was Johnny, you won't be nothing unless you do what you're told. Study medicine or study law, and please put away the guitar. The best you'll ever be is a local star at the local bar. But I went and did it anyway, family helping all the way. Now I'm here today, 5 records later, so you can hear me say don't. Let them tell you, you can't be anything you wanna be. Don't be deceived. Anything's possible when you just believe. Then you can succeed. It might not be easy, but anything's possible. But if old Ben Franklin would have been frightened by lightning, if you would have stayed inside, then we'd still be in the dark. Martin Luther King did some beautiful things, all because he had a dream, just like you and me. Don't let them tell you can't be anything you wanna be. Don't be deceived. Anything's possible when you just believe. Then you can succeed. It might not be easy. Some tears, some hard years. Best believe it'll be hurt. And some pain, expect some rain. You're gonna make it if you try. Keep your eye on the prize. You can take it. You might have to work it, but it's gonna be worth it. Don't let them tell you that you don't deserve it.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have David Watson. Watson and the Willows here with us, which is the soul group that he deep trance channels. You can find out more about David on his website, askthewillows.com. David will be back with us on October 21st. So if you had questions and you want to ask some but didn't get an opportunity, you can join us again on October 21st. All right. So we have another caller. It's Lenny.
Hello.
Hi. Can you be a bit more specific as to, because asking about how to undo negative energy in soul contracts, those are two really big topics. So can you be a bit more specific as to what you're wanting?
I guess, is there specific methods that can help erase the negative karma that may not be necessary any longer?
Indeed, yes. For, of course, karma is that which you must understand is something that is a belief in itself. You see, one of our favorite quotes is, your karma ran over my dogma. Yes? You must laugh at it and understand here that the karmic energy that one builds, often people believe that it comes from one lifetime to another, as if you got a fresh start, but then somebody is going to give you heck because of something you did before you were born. Kind of not very fair, is it now? Karma does not work in this way, not contrary to what is being taught in many of the Eastern belief systems. Karma is indeed something that one carries as a conscious belief that is called action and reaction. Yes? That is exactly what it is about. When one takes action, or you could also call it cause and effect, you understand? When one does something, then one is going to have a feeling that something is going to somehow touch into the matrix of consciousness, and one is going to receive a lesson along the way. The origin of the concept of karma actually came from that meaning, to learn a lesson, not to be punished, not to be tortured, not to be hurt in any way, but rather to learn in a positive and non-aggressive manner. However, certain people over the aeons have understood that if one changes the concept of karma and changes it into something that is a retribution and that is going to cause one difficulty in future lives if one does not straighten this life out, it starts to sound somewhat draconian, does it not? As do many other belief systems that try to convince one that one must be perfect in this lifetime, otherwise one may not get to the afterlife or go up, or they would go down, or whatever the case may be. In actual fact, all of this are techniques used by major belief systems in order to manage those people who are, shall we say, true believers. But it does not necessarily hold true that this is the absolute truth. The absolute truth comes from what one chooses to believe in one's own life, which is where inner wisdom comes from, which is the basis of what we began to speak about earlier today. Your own inner wisdom, if you look at it, will tell you this, that you are a beautiful creation of the eternal light that is infused into all, and all is infused into that light, that you are pure and clear inside, that you have no negative inner drive, that for you and for each individual, however, that your vision on life becomes shaped by what you were taught by those about you and what you were told to believe, sometimes even forced to believe to be true. So the beliefs that you may be holding about karma at this time, we would ask you to ask yourself a very simple question. Ask yourself, where did I first learn about karma and spiritual retribution? Who did I learn it from? Because in actual fact, when you look at a little baby that's just born and you pick it up, it's kind of hard to believe that that kid has been cursed to come onto the plane to have some negative experience happen to them. In actual fact, the events that occur to people during their lifetime are just that, not things that one necessarily wants to have happen. Sometimes there are things that one is afraid of happening, so one focuses upon the fear and begins to manifest it in that way. Sometimes things just happen, being in the wrong place in the wrong time. And, of course, some people talk about manifest destiny as if it is true rather than constant, but that is not true either.
When one is challenged by certain events in life in this way, one then has the opportunity to rise to the occasion, to grow through the experience, and to learn wisdom through that growth. That is the real way to deal with the karmic belief that one would hold. Saying that the things that have occurred to you in life, these negative things, are not the result of some hideous crime that you committed in a previous existence, or some evil thing you did as an earlier part of your life, but rather are events that are sent to challenge you to learn more about your own core and your ability to cope with and deal with adversity in life. He who is most flexible in life, or she, is the one who will succeed most. So these are lessons in flexibility. Think about flexibility in this way. Would you rather be an oak or a bulrush? Look at the bulrushes that were still standing in the marshes after major storms.
We don't have a lot of time left.
Look at the oak that is broken at the first big gust. So it is the same with one's beliefs in this way. So this is what we would finish with, is this okay. Shall we say, concept.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I hope that helps. All right. So you have been listening to Intuitive Friends. David's just come back quickly, and we just want to again wish you a very happy birthday and hope that this is a wonderful and amazing year for you.
Well, it started off just perfect. Thanks to you, and thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you. All right. Again, David will be back on October 21st, and you can find out more about him and the Willows on their website, askthewillows.com. You've been listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.